Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into a recent startup draft that I did, this was the subject of a strategy session podcast with subscriber Tyler earlier in the month. So I wanted to include this one with my own personal thoughts. That was more of a discussion, strategic discussion. I viewed this as an opportunity, given the fact that I drew 101, to go full go on a two-way go. And, you know, I talked about this in Analytics Dynasty 2021, which is basically that I think there's a problem with the productive struggle, in the sense of you're giving away the near term. And what you see with these teams that really trade away their first round, that trade away their picks now for future first round picks. So they're in surplus, what I call in surplus. You're either neutral first round picks. You have you have one first round pick the following year. You have, you're in surplus, which means you have multiple leaving the startup draft, or you're in debt, which means you have none. Okay. And what I found with the in debt teams can really get to a really, really high ceiling over the first couple of years. And the teams that are in surplus, it just lack that ceiling. Now, if you do the trade right, my premise is, if you do the trade right, you're maybe losing, like, I don't know, a quarter of a win, right? I mean, if you sort of do the trade right, you're not losing that much. So what's really happening is you're getting, instead of teams actually, playing for the now, what they're doing is they're totally playing for the future. They're actually losing over the first couple of years. It's particularly in year two, you're losing a lot of ceiling opportunities, even though you're trying to kick the can in year one. I understand that. But primarily through the construct of the receiving game and how you're structuring your running backs, you're finding that in year two, you're not really hitting a full stride. You can get there, but it's really going to have to be year three and year four. Again, I think there's a better way to go, which is to do the trade down, get a future first, get future capital. You can do multiple future firsts, but play for the now. And what you'll see when you do that is you're going to end up with not necessarily holes in your roster that you might think of. I think this year is actually the perfect year to do it, because you can trade from round four to round seven, not really lose much at wide receiver, and get a future first, and bam, you're ahead. Like that's, without doing anything else, like, you've sort of put yourself on a two-way go path. You've got the future assets. And one thing I'll say about the future assets too is, the more I've done this, I don't necessarily just look at them as, hey, here are the rookie odds. Right? I sort of look at them as an asset. And, you know, maybe that's a quarterback. Maybe that's, you know, if it's allows me to add a running back if I want, something like that. But it gives me options, right? It gives me the option to go from minimal security to a lot of security, depending on really what the construct is. So that I'm trying to accomplish. It just gives me a lot of flexibility. So I sought to do that. Drawing the 101, I sought to do that. So again, this is and I talked about this in the show with Tyler last week, which is to really think about more his team or his process. But I sort of wanted to walk through mine, because I think there's some interesting stuff that happens in here. So I draw 101. I don't even flinch. I take Mahomes. It comes back to me at the 212, and, you know, I thought a little bit about trading out. I didn't peruse it a ton, because I sort of had a plan, which was, you know, as I sat there, I said, you know, I have, if I'm going to do this, I probably want to anchor my team with, with a running back, with a wide receiver, tight end, somewhere up there, up in the, I'm probably going to go heavy tight end, was sort of my theory. So I was going to need to get, you know, two of the top 10 probably was the goal. And I knew Tyler was going to probably draft three of the top 10. So I said, I kind of got to go early at tight end. And if I wait a long time at receiver, that really gives me, you know, the I'm really far down the pecking order, and I feel less certain. And honestly, stacking Tyreek Hill and Mahomes is really attractive. So, so that didn't make it too terribly difficult on me to ultimately do. So Mahomes, obviously quarterback one, 101. Hill is actually wide receiver 4, and he goes off. This is incredible. He goes off after Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, CeeDee Lamb, and Justin Jefferson's wide receiver 1. If Jefferson was available at 212, I probably would have taken him instead of Hill. But, you know, with Hill there, and I sort of look down the board, like, I don't think there's the same ceiling with A.J. Brown. Jamar Chase goes 6. Like, that's just not doing that. I could have justified Calvin Ridley or Stephon Diggs, but again, it wasn't a stack. So that was part of the decision-making process. Adams didn't really factor in because I didn't want to take a huge loss in the super immediate term. So that's kind of how I structured that pick. If it wasn't Mahomes, if I had Dak or someone like that, like it could have been, I probably would open it up to Ridley or Diggs, something like that. But the fact that I had Mahomes and Hill to start, that was easy. Hawkinson had gone off at 211 just in front of me. Kelsey was gone. Pitts was gone. Kittle was gone. Waller was gone. So basically, I was sitting there at the turn, and I said, you know, I can take Andrews. I like Andrews, and I think, you know, Andrews or Fant pretty close together. I probably want to get one of them, and I'm not going to get one if I wait. So let's go for it. And I kind of pegged the fourth round as being like, hey, this is going to be the bail zone, right? So this is going to be the bail zone. So I got 3 core guys, again, in the format with the 2 receptions, 2 PPR per for tight ends. It gives a boost to the position generally, and it helps out guys that are going to see some volume. So that'll be, I think, important here as we go a little bit further. Get to the fourth round. You know, and as I came into this, I said, you know, Watson in the fourth is going to make a lot of sense, right? If Watson gets to the fourth, I'm probably going to take him. Similarly with Rodgers, if Rodgers gets to the fourth, I'm probably going to take him. And with Mahomes, I have a trump card, so I've got a lot of options. And I said, you know, I could take Watson, then I can pair him with Brady, and I'm still sort of serving those 2 aims, which is now and later, especially later. But I think now with Brady and Mahomes, like, that's pretty compelling in the near term, over the next year to 2, and then Watson over the long term with Mahomes, I'm just crushing people. Neither of those guys got there. You know, for me, it was a pretty easy bail at that point. It was either going to probably be wide receiver. We're looking at running backs in the late teens. Like, it just made sense to move out. Like, tight end was going to be tight end 7. No tight end had gone for almost 2 rounds by that point. And so I do think it's a gap after Fant, and that kind of shows up here. So I bail 412 for 711. And a 2022 first. So I accomplished my 4-7 for a first. I think I offered that to basically everybody. And that's the deal that I ultimately got done. So I was really excited to get that done. I follow up. I got 501. So I had that 4-5 turn. I take Eckler. So Eckler is running back 17. Again, I think he's relatively safe in a 2-year window. And that's kind of that's the range you're dealing with in the later teens of the position. Aaron Jones, probably someone that I could have considered there as well, but actually the person that traded up for Aaron Jones. So he was one that I probably would have considered there. I had them pretty close, you know, so I traded out, and if Eckler went, Aaron Jones probably would have been the pick. You know, that would have probably been the debate there. Maybe Goddard, but yeah, it probably would have been, it ultimately probably was the 2 of them that I was really thinking about there. So the 6th round comes down, and at this point, you know, we've got, we've got 23 quarterbacks off the board. So Cousins had gone just in front of my pick to Tyler. So I probably would have taken Cousins there, but I sat there at the pick and I said, you know, listen, I could go with receiver, but it's really, at this point, you're looking at it. It was a tier break, honestly, to me. Like, Evans was there, but I thought maybe I can wait to the end of the 7th round and get him. You know, Cooper, you know, Evans probably in hindsight seems like he was probably the tier break player that I could have went and got. I didn't. I saw, you know, look, there's a couple of running backs really left here at this point. And there's really only David Montgomery and Chris Carson that I feel good with over a couple-year window that are starters. So Montgomery, basically the last, what I would consider, I'm not sure Carson's in a multi-year window. He's one of those ones. He's a little bit, is a little bit like Eckler, where I have a little bit of a concern. So I said, you know, let's go with Monty and feel really good about it. So I've got two running backs that I really like as floor plays. Again, this is going to, I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, I got Mahomes and I've got Hill and I've got, that's good ceiling there for both of them in the near term. And then let's just keep pounding away at filling in around them. And that's going to be productive wide receivers in the near term. You know, we've got future assets. We've got future assets down the line we can build from and maneuver the team as we need. And, you know, let's sort of press our chips in and go for it here. So that's the 6-12 pick for Montgomery. And then I'm at 7-01. I said, listen, I've got a couple of guys in mind here. I really have a tier of guys that I have in mind here. It's Carr, it's Matt Ryan, it's Brady, and it's Goff. Like, those are the guys I feel comfortable with at quarterback. And as I looked at it at this point, all but three other teams had two quarterbacks. So there was basically two-thirds of the teams in the league had two quarterbacks, and I was in the third that didn't have a second quarterback. So I felt pretty comfortable with the fact that I was going to get a crack at one of my guys, that I was going to get either a shot at Ryan, Carr, Goff, or Brady. And I said, you know, at that point, you know, I can sort of maneuver, you know, I could, if I miss on that, you know, I can do a Winston Taysom Hill stack, be fine. Like, that, I probably get an answer there. Like, you know, it's not ideal, but that's kind of my bail opportunity. And, or I can run it back with even further down. I can go Ryan Fitzpatrick. I've got Roethlisberger, right? I can go down the line even a little bit further and hit Garoppolo if I need, you know. So there's ways that I can sort of figure out some depth at quarterback, especially if it's a quarterback too. Like, if I miss on this tier of four guys, I didn't think I was going to, but if I miss, like, I've got outs. So I decided to trade out. A little risky, I'll be honest. But I really, really like the return for a couple of reasons. I again get future assets. I end up staying within the same tier, which is what I thought was going to happen. And I pick, I end up being in the same tier with my next pick coming. So that was kind of the benefit of having, you know, a pick, you know, within, you know, basically going from 7-11 to 8-12. It wasn't that far, right? So that's that intermediate pick that I had traded down from. And so I said, you know, I've got, like, I don't have to wait a full two rounds. I only have to wait one round. And let's see what I can do. So I ended up negotiating a little bit, and I just love this trade. I traded 7-11 for 10-10, 13-03, and a future second. So what do? I get an extra pick in the contributor range of the draft, right? So that's, maybe it's a starter this year. You know, maybe it's a one injury away guy in the 13th round. It's kind of how I viewed, like, that's kind of what I'm looking at in terms of that pick. I get a player that, you know, ultimately, like, if I went receiver with this pick, it's probably not going to be too terribly different than what I get at 10-10. And I said, you know, I've got a shot to still get the quarterback that I like, and let's do that. So I thought at this point, I think if there was anything that was really going to hurt at this point, that, hey, I'm probably going to be out on, you know, I'm probably going to be out on, you know, a second tight end, right? So that's kind of the drawback that I had. So I'd be going from 7-01, where I was going to pick, to 7-11, which was the pick I traded for. And then I was going to, you know, I was going to have to wait another round for my true picks. So I said, you know, I might miss on tight end, but there's a lot of guys that I like that are sort of in that next tier. I kind of marked Ingram as being sort of still there. Gesicki, Higbee would have been guys that I would have been targeting, but Ingram was going to be pretty far up there. And I know he's been sliding in drafts. So I felt comfortable, like, listen, I'll trade out of 701. I'll trade, you know, I've got in a few picks, I've got another spot for a quarterback coming up, and then I can readjust tight end later. And I've got the two picks back to back. And I kind of at that point said, I think the next three picks, so 7-11, 8-12, and 9-01, I'm guessing it's going to be quarterback, tight end, wide receiver in some form. That's kind of how my team was going to build out at that point, just given what the values were. So again, 7-01 for 10-10, 13-03, and the future second. So leave myself options, and I've got an extra contributing pick this year. So really like that. The seventh round goes through. Derek Carr goes off. It gets back to me. There's a run on wide receivers. It's Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, Deontay Johnson, T. Higgins, Devonta Smith, Brandon Ayuk, Mike Evans, Julio. Yeah, so it's a run of that range. There's only two running backs that I guess go in that range. It's Chris Carson's actually the pick that's traded up for, and Kareem Hunt goes off the board at the end of the seventh round. So I sat there and I said, listen, Matt Ryan, like, let's do this couple-year window. I really like the upside potential in the new offense. He's pretty solid. I don't have a ton of questions about him. You know, Brady, I guess, could have been a debate there too. That's pre the, hey, Brady's probably going to play 2 years commitment from his trainer. Maybe I would have rethought that. But yeah, I mean, I really like Matt Ryan. I think he's got some longevity still left in him. And I can figure out the 2 to 3 years down the line as we go along, right? That's something I know now I'm going to have to eye, and whether that's a pick in a rookie draft, something like that, that's kind of how I did the calculus. But Matt Ryan was a pretty easy pick there, 7-11. So I have to wait a full another round, and I get to 8-12, and it's perfect for me. It ends up being absolutely ideal. There's the last tight end off the board was 606. So it goes all the way to 8-12. So basically 2.5 rounds of no tight ends. I get to 8-12. It's Evan Ingram, tight end 10. So at that point, I take Evan Ingram, and in the top 96 picks of the draft, you've got 10 tight ends, two teams combined for 5 of them. Ingram to me at this point represents some flexibility. Again, so this is probably a flex play type scenario for me, so that's good. This is probably one of those situations where, if I have to pivot at some point, I can pivot off Andrews if I want to. You know, if Ingram has a big season, I can pivot off of either one of them. But I've now layered the position, and I really think one of the findings from AOD 2021 was kind of be heavy at the tight end position when it's this premium and this specific construct, like, get it. And so 2 in the top 10. You know, are they my ideal? You know, would I have rather had Hockenson and Fant? Sure. But I get Andrews and Ingram at basically a 5-round discount from Fant. So I'll take it. The next round goes off, and then there's basically a run on tight, or excuse me. So, well, that's 8-12. So then I get to 9-01. I take my pick. Again, it's wide receiver for me there. It sets up totally perfect for me. You know, Woods had gone off. He would have been a consideration. Juju Smith-Schuster went off. He would have been a consideration too. Thielen maybe, probably not. But to me, it was pretty clear to pick Tyler Lockett. So, I really like Lockett's profile here going forward. He's locked into a multi-year deal at this point. He's really efficient and effective with Wilson. Like, it's a really good scenario. Again, puts me in a contending window now. He's a wide receiver too, I think, in terms of, you know, over the next, at least this year, and then I can readdress next year. But at this point, I kind of know too, like, hey, some receivers that I like are falling down the board. And if that's like, I'll just keep kicking the can on this and just play chicken with the league, because I know that I have some depth at tight end, and I'm going to keep building depth at tight ends. So I don't need to be super deep at wide receiver. Like, I can play tight ends in the flex. I can play tight ends and against running backs in the flex. Like, I'm going to be fine at that. You know, just basically get 4 or 5 core guys at receiver, and then I can figure it out. And one thing that I'm really striving for this year is to play the waiver wire a little bit better at the receiver position. So all those things in mind, feel fine with Lockett as my next wide receiver. We get into the 10th round, and I've got two picks. So I've got my own pick at the 10-12 and then the 11-01. So that's the turn there. And I've got 10-10 as well. So I'm sort of waiting as it goes by. I'm like, this is probably going to be another receiver at least in this range. You know, tight end could be an option for me. We could see. But at this point, I kind of said, like, there's not a ton of difference between the tight ends. It was really the thought for me at this point. You know, and after Ingram went off, the guys that I would have really been in on, Higbee and Gesicki, go within half a round after Ingram. And so I said, you know, there's not, after that, there's not a ton of difference, you know, and I can get into the 20s and be just fine, right? I like Ingram. I like Eric Ebron. I like Gronkowski, Jared Cook, heck, Firkser, you know, there's Hayden Hurst is interesting, you know, you can keep going down the line. Like Jimmy Graham's going to be a depth guy, like I could potentially pursue. So I kind of knew, you know, Dan Arnold really late, you know, so I sort of had some ideas in mind, you know, I just play the board and let it keep falling to me, and I sort of know what the formula is, right? All timers, still with a starting job. Gronkowski checks the box. Depressed asset, tight ends. You know, Ebron and Hurst check that box. You know, so heck, OJ Howard checks the box too of depressed assets. You know, Graham, Joku, right? So I know I sort of have some of those options coming down the line for me there. So I feel okay. There's not a ton of difference here. Like I'm not in love with Kmet or really Hooper, you know, versus the other guys where, and I really like some of the other targets in that range. So, so I get to 10-10 and notably, 10-09 was actually Taysom Hill. Winston had gone off two rounds before. So there's that gap there. Taysom Hill might have been in the decision-making process for me at that point. I probably would have waited, tried to get him in like the 12th round, but he goes off right in front of me. So it becomes pretty easy to me at that point. It's Mike Davis. So Mike Davis, running back 33, that is behind Dylan, Singletary, Michael Carter, Damian Harris, Miles Gaskin, James Robinson went a couple rounds ahead of him. So again, I sort of look at that and say, you know, at this cost, right, if it's a, you know, do I have like a 50-50 shot at a starter season? If yes, check the box. And that's kind of how I feel about Davis. So feel pretty good about that. And, you know, we'll see what the 2-year, 3-year window brings. But again, this is another asset that I feel can really help me to like a win over the course of this upcoming season. And with the build that I've got going on, right, he's in a flex scenario. Like I know I'm going to backfill with some injury away guys, and I've already got a flex in the locked in there with Ingram. So I'm feeling pretty good about how it's going. Tyler was actually picking right behind me. So I knew that there was a potential that Mike Davis could go there. I wasn't sure. He hadn't drafted a running back yet. I didn't know how long he was going to wait. But I figured, like, if there was going to be a running back that he would take, it's probably going to be Mike Davis, was my hunch. So I got to go Mike Davis in front of him. And there were still receivers that I liked. So ultimately, the next one comes off the board is Jarvis Landry. He's at 41 overall. You know, in hindsight, you know, this is my 10-12 pick. In hindsight, should I have gone Fuller? I could have gone Fuller, probably. I thought maybe Fuller would fall a little bit further. Yeah, I felt pretty good about, I needed some security in terms of like locking down some target share of an offense. And I felt pretty good with Landry being that guy. You know, Fuller's got probably higher upside, but I think there's more risk there. And at this point, like I kind of need a core guy. I need a guy that I can depend on for at least this year. And then, you know, we can figure it out. But that was the rationale behind Landry over Fuller. In hindsight, like I might have switched him, but I took Fuller there. I took Landry there over Fuller. Pollard is my pick at the 11-01. Right, so basically I go Davis, Landry, and Pollard. And so for me, again, now I've basically exited the what I consider the starter range. Now I'm into the injury away guys. And Pollard, to me, I think he's in a couple year window for the injury away guys, which is, I think, valuable in terms of you do have some options of being multi-years. And I think it's him, too. So really, what's the difference between taking a one injury away guy in the 11th round versus the 20th round? That's the difference between taking Pollard and the Giovanni Bernard profile, or the Wayne Gallman profile. It's an extra year of that job, probably. So that's really the difference there. And again, if I'm looking, like, I could have went wide receiver, maybe Fuller there instead of Landry, or instead of Pollard, maybe that would have made sense. But ultimately, I think Pollard was the right play. And I think, you know, if Pollard really breaks out, I think he's got significantly higher market value potential than Will Fuller does. Just because, you know, not that I really intend on drafting that way ultimately, but I do think that is, I think that's an important thing to, you know, if you're breaking ties, I think that's a way to go, and a lens to look through. So I get in the 12th round, and I'm at the 12, 13 turn. And so I've got three receivers. I followed up with two more. And so I kind of know at this point, like, hey, I'm actually still inside the line of some guys I really like, and like this year too, with potential for years forward. So again, it's very, you know, it's largely flexible. I think the only guy that I've really taken so far that hasn't been multi-year flexible probably is Mike Davis. I'll say this. The Mike Davis decision is firmly a 2021 one. Anything I get in 2022, it's gravy. That's great. But so 12th round, Robbie Anderson, he's been very good. And wide receiver 51 after a starter season last year, I'll take it. Corey Davis, 52. I think he has 130, 140 target upside this year. I'll take it. So he's very good on a route run basis last year as well. So run it back with the two of them. Again, at this point, I'm just hunting. Give me some targets. Like, just, we're going to hunt some targets. And so I've got Hill, Lockett, Landry, Robbie Anderson, Corey Davis. And then I don't take another wide receiver until the 22nd round. I take John Brown, wide receiver 88 overall. And then I get to 1303, and this is my luxury pick. And so I thought maybe this would be a one injury away guy. Maybe this would be a running back. Probably should have taken Darrell Henderson in hindsight, but I didn't. That would have been one that I wish I had back. But there's a big group of them, obviously, in here. And I'll just give you an idea of sort of the guys I'm talking about. There's Darrell Henderson. Ronald Jones is in there. I don't necessarily think he possesses the same upside as some of these other guys, but Madison, Kenyon Drake, Gus Edwards, Jamal Williams. You just sort of keep going down that line. You know, David Johnson's available. Latavius Murray. There's a nice group of guys. Philip Lindsay, for that matter. You keep going down. Darrell Williams. You know, and so just keep going down the line. Like, that's the range of guys available. So I thought, like, hey, you know, I can position myself to hit some of these guys a little bit later on. And so I said at this point, you know, let's hit one. Let's try and swing for a big swing. And, you know, I'm perfectly content whiffing at this point, but I think this is a big swing potential. I haven't done anything crazy. I don't think this is crazy. This isn't something I would typically do. But when you're going basically two full rounds after the quarterback in front of you, and you project for a starter, what I think is a starting opportunity, Drew Lock's interesting. And, you know, when you sort of look at, he was basically above baseline, above the median this past year in terms of clean pocket stuff. He was terrible under pressure. But that can be turbulent year to year. And when you really look at the under pressure stuff, like, that's much, much better, much more predictive. And the thing that I think is missed about that is under pressure, like, that's basically a quarter to a third of your snaps. The clean stuff is much more common. And so I think we tend to overweight. This guy's under pressure. You know, this basically, you know, he's terrible under pressure. Like, he can't do it. Maybe, but a significantly higher portion of your throws are going to be clean pocket throws and, you know, catch ball from center or take the snap, deliver the ball like on time and all that stuff. Like he's above the median last year. So quarterback 35, I could totally whiff and he's not the starter this year and it's a burned pick, but it's an extra pick. And, you know, I that's one where I can say like, hey, if this is successful, I found quarterback 3. You know, heck, I've probably given myself additional flexibility. And from this point, there's not a ton of guys I think that can really do that. He's one that I could think, you know, if you turn it forward 12 months and he's a starter, he's going to be worth a lot more than he's worth right now. I mean, just think of the guys that are in front of him in terms of, like, if he plays competently, you know, if he posts, for example, like a quarterback 2 finish, ahead of him right now, Roethlisberger, Fitzpatrick, Jordan Love, Cam Newton, Taysom Hill, Jameis, Brady, Darnold, right? So just right there. I mean, if he plays to, like, a quarterback 15 to 20 finish, he could be 10 spots higher. And I don't think that's like that extreme. That doesn't even go that. That doesn't even talk about Carson Wentz, Mac Jones, Cousins, right? I mean, that's all of a sudden like the high, or I guess the low 20s, you know, way up into the 20s from the mid 30s is perfectly reasonable. It's a perfectly within his range of outcomes. And it's a good supporting cast. I don't think you can undersell that. So yeah, that's the deal. And listen, I think the right decision is to give him a starting job over Teddy Bridgewater and see what happens. So that's ultimately the pick there. And then, you know, from there I got 3 quarterbacks, you know, and I can figure out, I've got multiple future firsts. So if something happens with Ryan or something like that, and Locke doesn't work out, like I can address the position. I got an extra second, you know. If I have to give it for Fitzpatrick, that's like fine. You know, you can do something like that. Or you can give, you know, a couple of seconds or something like that for Derek Carr, for example, like could try and pull a deal like that. So I've got options. I've got outs in terms of all of that. 14th round comes and I get the 14, 15 turn. Jamal Williams, potential starter in Detroit. It's crazy to say that out loud, considering they have DeAndre Swift. But, you know, listen, I don't think you can discount the A running back stuff. And I don't know if that means like, hey, it's a 60-40 split in favor of Swift. I don't know if that means it's a 60-40 split in favor of Williams, what it means. But at 48, he's going behind McKissick, Chuba Hubbard. We don't even know if Chuba Hubbard can play. We know Jamal Williams can play. You know, and then, you know, there's guys ahead of, I mean, he's going, just to, by way of context, he's going 2 rounds later than James Conner. And they're similarly situated, you know. So I think you look at those things, and those are really interesting arbitrage opportunities when you think about them. So go Jamal Williams, then I run it back with Gronkowski. So he's tight end 26. Again, I think I can squeeze out a top 15 finish out of him and use him as a flex play, you know, week to week, depending on how that goes. And it might ultimately be like, hey, someone from the passing game needs to be out this week for Gronkowski to feel like a good play. But, you know, we've seen that receiving core has been banged up. AB, you know, what do we expect from day to day with him? And ultimately, Gronkowski could be a touchdown or bust guy. And if he posts 6 of them, like, there's probably some value there at some point in my lineup. So that's him, tight end 26, perfectly fine. That's ahead of Jared Cook, ahead of Eric Ebron. You know, maybe if I rethought it, I'd go Jared Cook there, but you know, I think with Gronkowski, I thought he was going to go sooner than Cook, and then Cook goes a couple picks later. So that would have been one that, you know, maybe in hindsight, I could have gone Cook instead of Gronkowski. But we'll see. I think Gronkowski's probably got a better profile. Cook probably has a better chance for volume ultimately. So I think that pick at tight end 27 is pretty savvy there for Cook. I get into the 16th round, run it back with Hayden Hurst. Again, I'm just simple mathematics. Calvin Ridley for a lot of targets. Kyle Pitts for presumably a lot of targets. You name the third person. Russell Gage, Olamide Zaccheaus. I don't know. But Hayden Hurst is the next most established guy. And we know this is a tight end-centric coach. A former tight end coach Arthur Smith with Atlanta. So we'll take him there and see what happens. Again, pending free agent. The next year's free agent class is going to be pretty interesting. So those are the – that's – you know, I think it leaves me some options there down the line as well. Next 17, you know, so the next pick there, 1701, Darrell Williams, 18th round, I go Sony Michel. And Sony Michel is, I think, not substantially worse than Damian Williams was as a runner last year. And I think you could make some arguments in favor of like, hey, he's probably undervalued going behind, Marlon Mack, Jeff Wilson, Darrington Evans, Malcolm Brown, Tariq Cohen, Elijah Mitchell. So one of those things is not like any of the other in terms of the pedigree. And honestly, like he's going behind an injured Jeff Wilson. He's going behind a recovering from an injury, Marlon Mack, recovering from an injury, Tariq Cohen, a rookie who's buried on a depth chart, Elijah Mitchell. Like I'll take Sony Michel and feel fine. Next pick, run it back with Devonta Booker. Again, now I'm hitting the injury away guys. Pretty hard and fast. The 20th round, so 2012, I take Kadre Allison, another guy I project could be a potential one injury away guy. Didn't even consider the fact that it was Mike Davis on my roster. I just took Kadre Allison because I think he's appropriately priced at that point. Samaje Perine goes just ahead of him as well. Tevin Coleman in that range as well. I then run it back there with Jordan Akins, who I think could sneakily be the second in the pecking order in terms of targets next year or in 2021 with Houston. So that's pretty valuable in this format and his potential flex play, which is crazy to think of, but the reception boost really does help. So I take him there at 2101, 2212. I take John Brown. 2301, I take Drew Sample. Again, I think there's a potential that he's the starting tight end. He goes a couple rounds after CJ Uzama, so that's fine. 2412, I get another backup running back, notably Benny Snell. And I think he might be the last guy that really projects as a potential week one injury away guy. So that was pretty nice in terms of putting him there. There's not like a clear answer outside of Najee Harris on the depth chart. I think Benny Snell could be it. Running back 88. Yeah, it's fine. I run it back the next pick at 2501 with Matt Breida. Again, I think that there is a chance that he could play this year. I'm not going to say it's a particularly high chance, but I think he could play. And, you know, at this particular cost, like I know that he has been able to play in the past. I don't know if the injuries and some of that stuff has taken a toll or whatnot, or if it just was a bad fit in Miami and he sort of ran out of, you know, he ran his course in San Francisco or whatever. Yeah, maybe he's a cut candidate before week one, right? Maybe he doesn't make the roster. But if he does, I think it's pretty interesting. Le'Veon Bell, 2612. Listen, he's a potential free agent ad for somebody with an injury a la Cam Akers. So that's not an unreasonable possibility, and it's really cheap for a guy that has shown he can play. I'm not sure if he still can, but we'll see there. And then lastly, 1701, so I didn't have a 28th round pick because I traded up, and I can't use it. So Jacob Hollister, tight end 59, potential competition for Dawson Knox in Buffalo. And Hollister's guy, I think, has been able to show he can play a little bit. So I took him there as a dark horse, deep shot throw at the position. So that's the build. So again, I got an extra first, got an extra second next year. So I've got myself some options. You know, I've got some flexibility in terms of being able to move around. Got a potential uptick guy in Drew Lock. Got some win now guys, I think. Yeah, I tried to build in a little bit of, hey, this guy could see some value bump as well. Guys like Hayden Hurst in that specifically. You know, Benny Snell is a guy I think is really depressed in value. You know, so that's kind of the build. And you know, and I think like Robbie Anderson, Corey Davis, like they could be uptick guys. It's tough to say like how much they could really rise, but going behind like Mecole Hardman, we've kind of done that already. And I don't know, I'm getting a discount on that. Like, yeah, it's fine. So So yeah, so that'll pretty much do it. Again, I think this is doable without Mahomes. Like, you can do this with you know, if you want to go early at the quarterback position, I think there's a lot of options you could do it with. You could do it with Dak. You could do it with Russell Wilson. You could do it with Allen. Right? Those would probably be Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson are probably the next tier there for me. But you could do this with them. You could trade out of the first round. I think that's possible too. There's a couple people did that and waited on quarterback. It's interesting. I sort of looked through some of the quarterback builds, and there's, you know, I don't know how some of them are aligned, I guess, is one thing that I would say. And, you know, some people align rookies with veteran wide receivers, which is usually suboptimal bet. But we'll see. So, I mean, I think I put myself in a potential contender situation. I've got some guys that I think can really outproduce what their cost is, and we'll see long term. But I've got multiple future firsts to figure it out, multiple future seconds, and lots of flexibility. So, all right, well, I'll do it for this deeper dive on a startup draft. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. Go get in a startup draft, and we'll talk again very soon.